Today on Real Radio.
This is what the Epistle of John is all about. This is how the world is going to know that we're different. We can preach to them, and we will. We can invite them to church, and we shall do that. But there's nothing more powerful, especially at a time like you and I live in right now, that love should be the motivating drive, the force behind everything we do.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his verse-by-verse series through the New Testament letter known as 1 John. We're in a mini-series that takes a look at a section in chapter 3, where the Apostle John explains that there is at least one truly noticeable outstanding qualification of the true believer, and that is love for the brethren. Jesus himself went on record saying that this is one clear way that the world would know that we are his people. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now continuing his mini-series called Proof of the Divine Birth.
1 John 3, verse 9, John speaks to us. And by the way, he's speaking to us regarding the issues of the family of God. He's talking to us about being a real Christian. What is a real believer in Christ? What perception do you have? What kind of scorecard are you keeping concerning a Christian? You know, first of all, the world is keeping a scorecard. I hope you know that by now. The world is watching you. You may have forgotten that on the back of your card you have a little dove or a Christian fish. But the world hasn't forgotten. They look, they watch, and they keep a score. Well, I want to draw to your attention tonight that maybe every one of us keep a little record about what it is to be a Christian. We've got our standard. Well, listen, God reveals the standard. And though we could poll everybody in this place tonight and come up with a great many different definitions of what it is to be a Christian, the true hallmark of the believer is that there will be love flowing out of that Christian's life. And I want to encourage you right now, it is not the love that you and I can generate or muster on our own. Can't do it. It's a work of God. It's a divine work. He says in 1 John 3:9, he says, "Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him. And he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. You know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him." So the proof of the divine birth truly taking place in the life of the believer is love. This is what the Epistle of John is all about. It is seen and is known by our Christian love one for another. This is how the world is going to know that we're different. We can preach to them, and we will. We can invite them to church, and we shall do that. But there's nothing more powerful, especially at a time like you and I live in right now, that love should be the motivating drive, the force behind everything we do. Tomorrow morning, we will be wasting our time by boarding an airplane and flying down into Mexico and doing this invasion with evangelistic tactics and motives and methods if love does not drive our vision. It's a waste. We can get in the plane, and we shall in a couple of weeks, and head to Germany for more outreaches to start a church there in Stuttgart. It will be a waste without the love of God being the motivating factor in our lives. It'd be a waste. Love has got to drive the Christian agenda. And so often in the time and an age in which you and I are living, we don't see that so much. But when people are loved, it's going to make a great difference in their lives. Listen, by way of recapping last time, take your notebook out, and we'll look at some things that we looked at before, but we'll just quickly run through them. We saw, first of all, last time, regarding the proof of the divine birth. Has it happened in you? Has it happened in me? That divine birth, meaning Jesus said, you must be born again. Are you born again? It's to be known, you know. You know in the Bible, in fact, 1 John, he's going to tell us later on, these things have been written that you might know that you have eternal life. And that word know in the Greek means to experience the assurance that you're saved, that you're in God's family. And so we saw last time that we have been born of God. We have been born of Him. It's a work of the Lord. It's the work of the Spirit of God. We also saw last time as we run through this, and bear with me as we do recap, that we have been recreated. By the way, you know the word recreation? You know the word is a divine word. It's a biblical word. You know, we might say, well, I'm going to go out and take some recreation. Well, the word actually means to recreate. It means to take Sabbath, to take rest. Well, God has recreated us. We saw that last time. It says, whoever has been born of God does not sin. That is, does not practice sin. Why? Because his seed remains in him. He cannot sin, says the Bible, because he has been born of God. So that means whoever has been born of God has a new nature. You can't just say, well, I'm a Christian now. I went forward to the crusade, or I went forward to church, and I'm just going to live like, excuse the French, but hell from Monday to Saturday and be all saintly on Sunday. No, you're deceiving yourselves, the Bible would say, and in fact, the truth is not in us if we do such a thing. We saw last time also that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says that we are now new creations in Christ. Behold, all things have passed away and all things have become new. So that's very important. In 1 Peter 1:23, we saw there that Peter tells us we have been born again, past tense, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. We also saw that we have been reintroduced. And what do we mean by that? Reintroduced in that we are now called the children of God. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings this evening, but the fact of the matter is, until we come to Christ, until you bow your knee and say, Jesus, save me from my wretchedness, save me from my sin, I am a liar, I am a cheat, I am a robber, I'm a thief. I mean, on and on you can go. And you say, well, Jack, boy, you're revealing a lot of things about yourself. Hey, don't get too pious on me here. The Bible tells us if we offend in one point the law, we are guilty of all. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all need Christ. And so in this respect, he has reintroduced us into the family of God. It comes through the blood of the Lamb. What Adam and Eve enjoyed before the fall, you and I actually enjoy and more. Because since the day of Pentecost, indwelling every believer is the person of the Holy Spirit. And that never ceases to amaze me. I would always think when I first gave my heart to Christ that if the Holy Spirit lives in me, I should feel all kinds of feelings. I mean, have you ever thought that, or is it just me? I should feel all kinds of things. I should be woken up in the middle of the night because God is like thinking inside of me. And the gears are turning. And but you know, to be honest with you, I never feel anything. I've never felt anything. You mean you don't feel saved? You know, I guess not. What does feeling saved feel like? I know I'm saved because Jesus died on the cross for me. I know I'm saved because he has put his Holy Spirit in my heart. I know I'm saved because he has forgiven me of all my sin and he's relieved me of guilt. I know I'm saved. But what does it feel like to be saved? Well, I could tell you I have peace. I could tell you I have joy. I can tell you that God has given vision and direction. But a feeling, I don't think I can define that. And I'm glad. The Bible says in the book of Habakkuk that the just or the righteous shall live by faith. The great revivalist historian J. Edwin Orr tells a story And I had a chance to hear him before he passed away to actually give this story, and it's a beautiful one, and I hope it ministers to you. He was studying for a message, and his oldest son was making fun of his youngest son. And as he would put it in his thick Scottish accent, which I can't do, so don't even expect it to come out of me, he said, "Mama," Mrs. Orr, "Mama was in the kitchen, and she's preparing the meal for the evening." And the older brother said to David, the younger one, "You know, you were never born into this family. You've been adopted." And little David began to cry. And so after this went on for a while, Dr. Orr, J. Edmund Orr said, "That's enough of that." Well, at mealtime, they were rather quiet, and the little David, he was still kind of struggling with this thought that maybe he was adopted, maybe he wasn't born into the family. And so at table, he asked his mama, he says, "Mama, was I born into this family?" And she said, "Yes." And he sat there for a little while and chewed on his food, wasn't all the way convinced. And he asked again, "Mama, was I really born into this family?" She says, "Honey, I'm absolutely sure of it." And he says, "How can you be so sure?" And she said, "Exactly." She said, "Because I was there when you were born." And that's what the Holy Spirit says to every believer of his. When Paul wrote in the book of Romans, "Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God," the Holy Spirit would say to us tonight, "You know that you belong to me and that I belong to you because I was there when you were born." But what a wonderful life we have as a Christian. We're not only born into the family, we're also adopted. I mean, we got the best of both worlds. We were not only born again into the family, but what a wonderful place. If you were adopted, you are so blessed. This is the way I see adoption. You were picked. Look, when I was born, my parents, what are they going to do? They're stuck with me. But if you were adopted, you were handpicked. We win either way. I love it. It's very exciting. We have been reintroduced into the family of God. And we saw also last time that we've been reunited. That is our fellowship one with another. And it's to be anchored and rooted in love. We are to be reunited together in a fellowship of the brotherhood of God's people. And I know, and we talked about this a little bit on previous messages, but I want you to know something. And I want you to hear this loud and clear. There's a lot of junk that goes around throughout church history, how you read about it, and if you like to read about church history, you'll read about how the Methodists would not fellowship with the Presbyterians, and the Lutherans would have nothing to do with the Episcopalians. And they varied on what we consider, at least at Calvary, at least the statement or the declaration of Calvary's bylaws and faith, a statement of faith, is that we do not agree with the denominations in keeping their silly peripheral issues that have led to the division of the body of Christ. We all need to agree on the essentials. Yes, that's what makes us Christian. But the Lutheran, the Methodist, the Presbyterian, we're going to have differences. That's what I love about Calvary. There's Presbyterians, there's Lutherans, there's might even a Pentecostal in here maybe somewhere, sometime. But I don't know. You know, the thing is, it doesn't matter. Are you looking unto Jesus Christ to be the author and the finisher of your faith? Well, do you baptize people backwards or forwards? You know, I get this. People write me, you know, we've just started attending and we want to know, do you baptize in Jesus' name? Well, it depends on who, you know, you got to be careful how you answer that question. Because some people are looking for the answer, yes, we baptize in Jesus' name. Then there are those who are looking for the answer, we baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So have you noticed if you've been baptized here at this church, you know what we do? Remember? We take you out in the water. We pray with you. We remind you about what God has brought you through and what's going to happen in a moment and the public significance of all the people that have gathered around to see you be baptized. It's a wonderful spectacle to the glory of God. And then just to cover all the bases for you, we'll say, and right now, we're going to baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. And up they come. Listen, love is the issue. Not love for the sacrifice of the truth. No, when the truth is established, as we look at the Bible and follow the scripture as it's revealed to us, the Word of God, then if that's true, if we follow the Word of God, love will hallmark the believer's life. And that is altogether the most important thing. Now we pick up where we left off last time. That was all introduction. Okay? So here we go. This is important. You ready? Take your notes. Get them ready. We have the love of God. Proof of the divine birth is that you will have the love of God in your life. How so? He says, for this is the message, verse 11, that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain. Listen to this interesting illustration that he gives us. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil and his brother's righteous. He says in verse 13, don't marvel. The word is in the Greek. Don't be surprised. Don't be startled. Don't be shocked, my brethren, if the world hates you. Interesting. First of all, note the connection. Cain is associated with hatred. Cain is displayed as the one who hated. Abel is the one who loved. Now watch this. We have no reason at all to think that Abel had ill feeling or will towards Cain. It's Cain, in the area of hatred, murdered his brother. It was, by the way, the second murder in the Bible. Some of you who know your Bible, your eyebrows should kind of go up. Second murder, yeah. The first murder was when Satan came and lied to Eve. That was the first murder. The second murder, Cain kills his brother Abel. And John is here saying that you can look at the life of Cain, and the Christian church is comprised of those who are to be loving God. Can I say this? We are to be like Abel's, loving, making holy sacrifice, sacrifices of faith unto God, an offering of faith unto the Lord. Cain, God warned Cain. He said, Cain, don't you know this is true, that if you do right, you'll do well. But Cain, I'm warning you, sin lies crouched at your door and it is waiting for you. Think about that. God was warning Cain. And John here is saying, the world will hate us just like Cain hated Abel. He hated him. When you say, well, I hate that person, God views that as you wanting to kill them. You may say, well, you know, I don't take it that far. God does. The Bible says, for every idle word that comes out of our mouth, we'll have to give an account for in the day of judgment. Well, I hate that person. Let's be honest. You dislike them. They don't please you, or whatever the thing is, but do you really hate them? If you hate them, it would mean that if there were nobody looking, that hatred has now ensconced your heart like scar tissue, and it has hardened your heart to the point that even with God's eyes looking on, you would kill them if you could get away with it.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a mini-series taken from a section of 1 John chapter 3, where John actually explains how love among the believers is a true and obvious sign of being a disciple of Jesus. The title, Proof of the Divine Birth. Proof of the Divine Birth is a mini-series and part of Pastor Jack's look at this New Testament letter written by the Apostle John. And we'll continue with more on Monday's edition of Real Radio. And of course, that means that on today's edition of Real Radio, we've got our feature called Ask Pastor Jack, where our teacher, Pastor Jack, answers questions sent in by Real Radio listeners. Pastor Jack, this one, by the way, welcome to the studio. This one comes from Leo, who's dealing with something we've all seen. Leo writes, Dear Pastor Jack, I'm seeing people I know who stopped going to church and reverted back to a completely worldly lifestyle, including homosexuality. But they still believe they're saved. Leo says, maybe they still are, but how do I address this with them?
Well, that is a huge question.
It is.
And yet it's very, very real. Number one, and I start with this answer first. The Bible says that in the last days, and let's not think that that's someday coming. The Bible says that we are actually in the last days.
Right.
So keep this in mind. In the last days, many will depart from the faith. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind. Is that what's happening? Well, I don't know. We'll see.
Okay.
The next thing is, the Bible tells us that there are those who, like in 1 John, tells us that they were with us, but they were not of us. And eventually they're going to go back into the world. That's another warning.
Hmm.
Jesus himself said in Matthew chapter 13 regarding the famous parable of the sower and the seed,
right,
that these are they who believe for a while, but the cares of the world and the desire for riches or pleasure, it chokes out the word and they go back into the world. Does that mean that any of these were ever saved? I believe they were not.
Okay.
Listen, when Jesus says these are they who believe for a while, it has nothing to do with faith. Belief should take you to faith. Belief is the vehicle that drives you over to faith.
That's
a lot
a good
of people
point.
Believe in God. Look, people believe in God. There's people who believe in Jesus. Look, I believe in George Washington.
Right, right, right.
But I'm not trusting George Washington for my citizenship. Does
Got
that
it.
Make sense?
Got it, totally.
There's people who believe in God, believe in Jesus. They believe in Muhammad. They believe in Buddha.
Yeah.
But they're not trusting in God, okay?
Okay.
So, but does that make them a follower of God? By no means. So we want to be very wise. Just because somebody goes to church doesn't make them a Christian. Just because somebody says they believe in God doesn't make them saved. What's the proof? In John chapter 15, Jesus said the proof will be this. They will abide in me.
Right.
Meaning, do Christians backslide? Yes, but they repent and they get back online with God, right?
Mm-hmm.
Can we sin and lose our fellowship with one another and even with God as a Christian? Yes, 1 John 1:9 says to confess to the Lord and he'll forgive you and you come back online with God. That's the scenario of a believer. Listen, there are many today, and I see them too, that come in and out of church and look, they haven't left yet. They're still living horrible lifestyles.
Yeah, yeah.
They come in and out of church and they're doing the religious thing. They may not be saved. Jesus' church had 12 people in it.
Yeah.
And one of them wound up being possessed by Satan and was lost for all eternity. It happens in every church. It happens with everybody that we know. There's somebody that we're going to know that's not a real believer. You say, well, are you condemning those people who have strayed? No.
Hmm.
But wake up to the reality of the Bible. There are those who know Jesus and have walked away. Oh, by the way, they're going to be miserable. There are those who say they know Jesus and have no problem living in sin.
Right.
Why? I believe the Bible teaches that they were never God's kids to begin with.
So Leo sounds frustrated, mm-hmm. as in he doesn't know he doesn't know how to deal with it. Do you ever get frustrated like
Absolutely.
That?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Try teaching on Sundays and Wednesdays and, you know, you want to jump over the pulpit and grab people and make them believe.
Right.
And of course, you know.
Can't do that.
You can't do that. Yeah. Everyone's got to decide. Joshua, you know, choose today whom you'll serve, and they need to make that choice in their daily living. Here's the bottom line, though. One of the great things, in fact, I've just come from a pastor's meeting where this was the topic. Do we create enough rules to regulate someone's biblical performance or relationship with God? That'll never work.
Mm.
Do we set certain protections in place? Well, you can, but that's never going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor asked me, what about men battling with pornography? You know, what do we do? Do we put a special program on their computer? Mm. I guess you can, but that's kind of sad.
It doesn't change the heart.
Doesn't change the heart.
Yeah.
The issue is, the thing that trumps everything, does this person love God?
Yeah.
If this person loves God, then that's the victory. So if somebody really loves Jesus, they're going to want to abide in the light. They're going to want to hang out with Jesus. They're going to want to continue walking with Jesus. They don't have to have guidelines put in place because their love and fear of the Lord, I mean fear in the sense of reverential awe of God, is so profound.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're sinless, but they love God so much that they just can't even let their mind go to that place of sin because they don't want to do that against their God. They understand that. And that's the key, to love God more than anything else.
Good stuff. Thanks, Pastor Jack. Ask Pastor Jack is something we feature from time to time here on Real Radio. Email your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. That's askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay, and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.